This is Free Speech Radio News for Monday, the 2nd of September, Labor Day, 2007. Across the United States, an estimated 500,000 people go to work each day in a slaughterhouse. It's one of the most dangerous industries with high rates of injury and turnover. The working conditions are grueling, and the pay? Well, it's roughly $22,000 a year. That's about $11,000 less than manufacturing workers. Join us today for an exclusive FSRN documentary, Slaughterhouse, The Labor Behind the Profit, produced by Catherine Comp. I'm Aura Bogado. Stay tuned. Smithfield Foods is one of the largest meat processing companies in the United States, with sales nearing $12 billion in 2007. And with more than 53,000 employees, Smithfield continues to expand its global reach and now has meat processing plants in 13 different countries. The company's earned a reputation for making big profits in business and shareholder circles, ranking as one of Fortune 500's most admired companies. But its reputation for labor and human rights abuses has also spread, emanating from a 12-year-long fight over collective bargaining at one of its plants in North Carolina. On this Labor Day, FSRN's Catherine Comp takes a look at the meatpacking industry, the people who work there, and the long campaign for union representation and better working conditions at Smithfield.
We understand this fight because we've been in this fight before. This is the fight that brought down Jim Crow. This is the fight that ended the Vietnam War. This is the fight that will end the war in Iraq. This is the fight because we know there's a war on workers in Smithfield. So we sing as we have always sung, and we sing together as a group. We shall not be moved. We shall not.
Hundreds of people filled the pews and spilled out into the aisles at First Baptist Church in Williamsburg, Virginia. The diverse crowd was gathering for the August 29th shareholders meeting of meatpacking giant Smithfield Foods. The United Food and Commercial Workers Union organized a rally to draw attention to the ongoing struggle for better working conditions at Smithfield's plant in Tar Heel, North Carolina, the largest pork processing facility in the world. The Justice for Smithfield campaign began more than a year ago in cities across the country, including Chicago, Boston, Richmond, and Washington, D.C. UFCW organizers wanted to raise awareness about Smithfield and build alliances with faith-based, civil rights, and grassroots organizations.
Now, I'm here because I truly believe that I live in a city that is too busy to hate.
Atlanta civil rights leader Reverend Raphael Allen.
I'm here because we at Concerned Black Clergy believe the injustices at Smithfield is a violation of everyone's human rights. Whether you work there, have bought the food, eat the food in the area, it's an injustice against human rights. We believe in the dignity of work and labor from hands that God has endowed to make a living. We believe in a living wage. We believe in comprehensive health care. We believe in safe worker conditions. We believe in the fair treatment of every worker, black, white, Hispanic. We believe in the fairness and the treatment of all human beings at the Tar Heel plant. So let's get fired up to march. Let's get fired up to sacrifice. Let's get fired up for peace and for justice and for living wages. Let's get fired up for Tar Heel and Smithfield workers today.
The fight for fair treatment, better wages and benefits, and a safer work environment at Smithfield goes back much further than the launch of the Justice at Smithfield campaign, and begins not long after the Tar Heel plant opened in 1992.
You know, shortly after I started working there, I seen how the workers were being treated. I seen how people were getting hurt all the time. And then especially seeing the company's reaction when those employees were being hurt.
Keith Ludlam started working at the plant in 1993 after returning from military service during the Gulf War.
The first time that I actually saw a fellow employee getting injured was an employee on the kill floor when I was leaving at the end of the day, a hog fell down off of the shackles, you know, these overhanging shackles that carry the hogs through the plant, and knocked the employee out. And the supervisor and management were all hollering at the other employees to get the hog back on the line so there wouldn't be gaps in the line, rather than worrying about the employee that the hog had just fell on and stuff.
After that incident, Ludlam says a coworker broke his leg. He noticed that employee back at work the next day with a full leg cast, navigating the large parking lot and sprawling facility on crutches. But this employee didn't work, says Ludlam.
They were just having him, you know, sit there in the break room in the livestock area all day long. And I didn't understand it when I first when it was first occurring, and then I found out that they were just doing it so they wouldn't have a lost workday case on their OSHA log. And so this employee was having to suffer through and go through all this. But at the same time, management was driving around, livestock management was driving around and parking just feet away from where they had this guy waiting, you know. And so I went to management and I said, you know, why don't you guys let him drive around like you guys are? You know, I mean, he's having to get up real early in the morning. He's having to hobble, you know, through, you know, it's probably a couple of miles going through the parking lot in the plant. And then risking getting hurt again. And they said, no, that's for management. He's a worker. And because, you know, I saw that, you know, the callousness that they had towards workers, I then knew that, you know, a change had to be made and that the only option we really had was for us to unite together and form a union. And that's when I began advocating to have a union in the plant.
In response to his efforts, Ludlam said management harassed him, and ultimately he was fired. He initiated charges against Smithfield for threats, intimidation, and illegally firing him. Several judges and courts ruled in Ludlam's favor, but Smithfield kept appealing the rulings.
You know, that was just their plan anyway, you know, that they would just, you know, delay it in court for 12 years. So that would, you know, make sure that they had a, you know, union-free workplace for at least 12 years. And that's part of their tactics and their union-busting tactics.
Last year, Smithfield was ordered to reinstate Ludlam. Although he had a much better-paying job as a project manager at DuPont, Ludlam came back.
So when I was given the opportunity under federal court order to go back in, then I knew I had to go back in, you know, or they win, you know, and they break the law and they violate the rights of the workers, not just my rights, but my fellow workers, and then their plan succeeds, you know. So to make sure their plan doesn't succeed, I had to go back in and finish what we had started, you know.
Solidaridad pa siempre, solidaridad pa siempre, solidaridad pa siempre, que viva nuestra unión, solidarity forever, solidarity forever.
Imagine working 8 hours a day at a meat processing plant. Temperatures range from above 100 degrees on the kill floor to about 40 degrees on the cut floor. Your job duties include severing jugular veins, skinning large animals, or sawing through frozen carcasses. The line moves quickly, and you must keep up. The company drives you to meet its quota of 33 hogs per minute, 32,000 hogs per day. After each shift, your ears ring, your bones ache, and your muscles burn. Sydney Townsend began working at Smithfield last February on the standard starting wage of $9.20 an hour.
When I first came through the door, they put me in a position to be a shackler, which with the hogs are gas now. They used to electrocute them or shock them. Well, now they go in a gas chamber and they come out, and they're still in a state which lasts maybe 30 seconds to a minute. And we shackle them by 1 foot to hang them upside down to cut them in the jugular vein to drain the blood. And I mean, when they come out the gas chamber, you know, feces and urine, and then you have to flip them in a position to get the foot. So it's really a rough and dangerous environment and very physical.
Townsend lives 50 miles away in South Carolina and uses a company shuttle bus to commute to the plant. He recently moved to the cut floor where he slices ribs to different sizes. Townsend now makes $11.50 an hour, and said even though he's standing all day, his new job is much less physical.
It's within reason. I mean, I like it, you know. And I bid it on the job, so, you know, I had a chance to choose what I like to do. And, you know, of course, I've done some research. And for the amount of money that I make, I think it's pretty decent. It could be better compared to the wages that our counterparts in other places are doing the exact same job. However, you know, that's what we're fighting for right now.
According to the UFCW, wages are about $3 higher at Smithfield's unionized plants, and there's lower turnover. Employees are also better protected when they're hurt, denied workers' compensation, or unfairly terminated. Guadalupe, who preferred to give only her first name, is a former Smithfield employee who was injured on the job. She worked at the Tar Heel plant for 5 years, using an electric whistle knife to cut off portions of hogs' bellies. She said she had to move fast and stretch over the line to pick up heavy pieces of meat.
She was cutting like it was working with like the belly, and the machine that was using it, and she was cutting more than it's supposed to be. They was coming back to her and give a good speech that they're going to fire her if she don't do the job correctly.
Guadalupe said she began experiencing pain in her arms, hands, and shoulders, and eventually sought medical treatment. Despite a doctor's recommendations that she no longer work with a whistle knife, plant managers put her back on the same job.
The superintendent talked to the supervisor and asked about her, and he said that he don't want her no more in there because she cannot do the job. And she was so bad because she has a swelling of both arms and a lot of balls and black.
As Guadalupe pointed to discoloration up and down her arms caused by her injuries, it became difficult for her to relive her experiences.
Entonces, me sacaron. Para mí es bien triste porque ellos nunca me pagaron nada.
It is very sad for her to say that because they, right now, they hasn't paid for this suffer to work in that company.
Cuando yo sé que tengo carpeto. Entonces supe que era lo que tenía, lo que ellos me negaban.
She knows that now that she has carpal tunnel disease, and it's because of the job. And even these people deny that she, that's happened inside.
Crea una unión para que la gente, para que ellos no le hagan lo que me están haciendo a mí, porque es muy difícil. Si yo estuviera buena, no estaría sufriendo así.
She wants the workers at Smithfield to have a union because she don't want the same thing happen to the other ones, and they suffer. They can suffer the same way that she suffered right now.
Because of her injuries, Guadalupe needed shoulder surgery. Unable to return to work and with a sick boyfriend at home, Guadalupe didn't know what she was going to do to make ends meet. Her medical bills reached $70,000. And according to Guadalupe's translator, UFCW organizer Emma Herrera, Smithfield continues to fight her workers' comp claim. Julie Eisenberg is research director with Research Associates of America, a nonprofit research organization based in Washington, D.C., that focuses on labor issues. Her group released a report last year on health and safety at Tar Heel.
As we then began to talk to workers, we started really seeing a significant level of people who've been denied workers' comp. And they're told, oftentimes they're told, well, you can put this injury, just you've got health insurance, why don't you just use your health insurance? And, you know, and the problem is, if you use your health insurance, you have to pay a copay and deductible, and you don't get your lost wages unless you happen to have disability insurance, and even that's limited to 13 weeks. So we started finding a lot of people just sort of slipping through the cracks here.
Eisenberg said they also examined OSHA logs for the facility and found that injury rates had skyrocketed.
We found that the injury rate has increased dramatically since 2003. It's more than doubled, and in fact, in 2006, there were almost 700 injuries reported at this plant during that year. During the time that we've watched the injuries increase, we've noticed that the line speed has increased as well.
Smithfield spokesperson Dennis Pittman acknowledged an increase in recordable injuries, but he said it's common in the industry.
there were an increase in recordables, and if you look at any 5 or 10 year period at any operation, you will see recordables move up or down, keeping in mind that a recordable is anything that requires anything beyond first aid. If they had to go see a doctor outside, it's a recordable. If they had to have a stitch, it's a recordable. Those type things are minor. We certainly get concerned when we see it going up, and we try to intensify our safety observations of what's going on and try to help make those things better.
Employees are also frustrated with management's neglect of basic necessities, like fixing broken equipment and providing clean drinking water, especially during North Carolina's scorching summer heat. Terry Slaughter is a crew leader in livestock.
Oh, I work today. Water. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the water came out maybe 3 hours later. He was out there. Whoa, they were sweating profusely. I mean, sweat was dripping. Where the water at? We don't know. Not even that. This morning when I went in, the water cooler had ants all over them. I mean, ants was crawling everywhere. I'm like, come on, are you serious? You don't believe me? These ants is crazy.
Slaughter pulls out his cell phone and shows video of an orange cooler covered in ants.
You see them ants? Yeah. All the way down the line. Yeah, see that? That's not pretty.
Slaughter said they've requested spring water, which plant supervisors and maintenance workers receive, but were brushed off. Workers also signed a petition and tried to meet with plant management, but problems persisted. A group of employees finally contacted the North Carolina Occupational Safety and Health Administration, but inspectors found no violations. Originally from New York City, Slaughter has worked in livestock for 5 years. It's not a job he likes, but he needs to support his family, including a daughter entering college this year.
The working conditions, they're terrible. You can get hurt at any point in time out there. I mean, from pen gates, from the hogs running you over, you know, I mean, from the equipment that they're giving you. I mean, when you go there, you should be provided with working equipment, proper working equipment at that. And then when you get hurt, it's on you, you know. As the plant says, hey, guy, you got hurt? What was you doing? You was drunk back there or something? They blame it on you. How you going to do that? I mean, maybe this equipment's not working properly. It's always the worker's fault. Always. No matter what it is. And now I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm pissed off to the highest of pistivity. You know what I mean? I mean, it's time for the change. I mean, that's why I'm out there right now fighting. Let's get it in. We can't stop, won't stop. If we don't stop, then it's in. Then we're in. That's what it is.
Solidarity.
In 1997, Keith Ludlum was allowed to go back into the plant to vote in the secret ballot election for union representation.
So I showed up, and they had, you know, the sheriff's department was out there. They were in battle gear. They were out in the parking lot. They were up in the hallways. Management was, you know, up in the hallways alongside the sheriff's department. The plant manager was out there with the head of the, you know, sheriffs that were out there. And, you know, on our way up to the voting area at the cafeteria, the managers that were standing alongside the local county sheriffs were, you know, all hollering, vote no union, and stuff like that. And so it was a real hostile environment. It was a kind of environment that intimidates you, especially when you're someone like me that, you know, they know is pro-union.
Cornell University professor Lance Compa is co-author of 2 Human Rights Watch reports examining the practices at Smithfield.
Workers' Freedom of Association is frustrated by really vicious anti-union tactics that the company undertook throughout a decade-long period and continuing right up to the present, harassing and discriminating against workers who try to lead organizing efforts, making implicit threats about dire consequences if the union comes in. There were even incidents of physical assaults against workers who were exercising rights of association and organizing. And these have all been confirmed by labor board cases and court cases, and the company has had to pay a lot of money in back pay to workers. The problem is that the lingering, not just lingering, the actual effects of what the company did makes the continued organizing efforts by the workers extremely difficult.
The UFCW filed complaints with the National Labor Relations Board, the federal agency that conducts union elections and investigates unfair labor practices. An administrative law judge found that Smithfield committed numerous violations, including intimidating, assaulting, and firing union supporters. Smithfield appealed several times, but subsequent judges and courts upheld the initial findings. Considering this history, some workers and labor advocates seriously doubt Smithfield will take a neutral position during another secret ballot election. Labor experts say secret ballot elections favor employers who have unrestricted access to employees 8 hours a day. Organizers want to see an alternative method put in place, like the card check system, which is used widely outside of the United States. In a card check system, the NLRB would certify a union if a majority of employees sign authorization cards. Like most employers, Smithfield is strongly opposed to the card check system. Confident that another secret ballot election will go their way, the company has repeatedly called for another election as soon as possible.
The company wants there to be an election. The union apparently does not. More than 2 years after a new election was ordered, the union has never requested that the election be held. That could be the end of this story. But the union.
This company video was recently shown to all employees at a mandatory meeting. Management also distributed bright orange T-shirts to employees with "Let Us Vote" emblazoned on the back and hung a banner with the same slogan over the main employee entrance.
Does everyone who signs a union card do it because they really want a union? Do some employees sign the card just to get the organizer or a fellow employee to leave them alone? Do others do it because they feel pressure to sign the cards? Do you want others?
Management also gave workers a pre-printed letter to sign calling for a secret ballot election. Smithfield reports that 3,000 of those letters were signed. Company spokesperson Dennis Pittman.
We had a mandatory meeting, but the letters and everything was in the seat. We made no observation of who took a letter, who didn't take a letter.
Smithfield continues to defend its practices in Tar Heel, saying that the workers rallying for better conditions are a small but vocal group. Pittman also disputes that the UFCW is acting in the best interests of workers.
This situation doesn't have anything to do with what's going on at Tar Heel. It doesn't have anything to do with employee safety, employee rights. It doesn't even have anything to do with Smithfield. What this is all about is that the union, when the UFCW and the other unions with Andy Stearns and with Joe Hansen, they broke away from the FFL-CIO, they made some very, very bold statements that they were going to show the world how to organize, that they were going to move into this corporate campaign mode, they were going after card check, and that they were going to do whatever they had to do to get this legislation passed. That's what this is about.
Labor advocates see a different picture of what is happening in rural North Carolina. UFCW organizer Eduardo Pena has been living and working near Tar Heel for the last 5 years.
When you look at what's going on here and how you're changing lives and making lives better, it goes beyond the union. It's really changing people's lives. It goes, you know, how you're building communities, how you're building trust among people who are different from each other. You know, once this process is done and over with, you're going to have a local union in the rural South composed of mostly African-American and immigrant workers who are going to be the ones who are going to be leading this local with the ability to affect the largest meatpacking plant in the world. That's going to be powerful. You know, that's going to be a powerful statement in the South, where a local union composed of African-American and Latino or immigrant workers, it's going to have the ability to bargain collectively with the largest meatpacking plant in the world. Wow.
Okay, you guys. Mayfield Storm. Yeah. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Mayfield product's gotta go.
Hey, hey, ho, ho.
Since launching the Justice at Smithfield campaign last summer, the UFCW has attracted support from individuals and organizations across the country. The United Church of Christ and the City of Cambridge, Massachusetts, passed a resolution this summer in support of Smithfield workers. Presidential candidate John Edwards met with workers in June and sent a letter to Smithfield CEO Larry Pope, urging the company to remain neutral in the ongoing collective bargaining campaign. In early August, the city of Boston passed a resolution calling on the city to suspend purchases of any products from the Tar Heel plant and encouraging Boston supermarkets to do the same. And across the country in Los Angeles, former master presidential chef Tolly Council voluntarily stopped using the products of Smithfield and its subsidiaries after learning about the plight of workers in Tar Heel.
Having been in the food business now almost 30 years, I can say that, you know, I know how employees are treated in a lot of situations in the food industry, and it's a tough industry. And in many cases, it's not only tough, in some cases, it's seriously underpaid for very devoted people. And when it's in a situation where people are really have nowhere else to go for a really, you know, a better employment opportunity, and that probably is the largest employer in that town of Tar Heel, North Carolina, they're very much at a disadvantage. And they're the ones that make the product possible. That's the largest pork producer in the world. And if they can't treat their employees better, I'm not about to cook with abuse. And that's why I put a stop to it in the first place.
Hey, hey, ho, ho! Hey, hey, ho, ho!
Workers and their advocates anticipate the struggle at Smithfield could continue for some time, but they're optimistic about the future and determined to keep fighting. Even Keith Ludlum, who had some unexpected news to share at the August 29th rally in Williamsburg.
Oh, a worker attacked me in the break room, and as a worker that the plant management knew they had an issue with, that had been trying to get in fights with workers earlier in the week. And, you know, he just kept coming at me, and a third time I've had to defend myself. And there's plenty of witnesses, and the company got statements from all those witnesses. And after a week and a half of the company investigating what they call an investigation, I believe it was just a debate with their lawyers, you know, they finally made a decision to fire me once again. So
Ludlum said he's not giving up, and he'll take this fight back into the courts.
But, you know, it's something that I halfway expected the company to do something like this. But it is disappointing, you know, now that I've been back in there a year and, you know, I've been fighting the fight and, you know, the workers are starting to come together and unite. So, but, you know, the good thing is that a lot of the workers, you know, haven't lost the faith and they're still fighting the fight. So.
For Free Speech Radio News, I'm Catherine Kump.
No justice, no peace, no justice!
You've been listening to an FSRN exclusive Labor Day documentary, Slaughterhouse, The Labor Behind the Profit. Today's documentary was produced by Catherine Kump with assistance from Tina Gysi. Technical production by Antonio Ortiz. Special thanks today to Kelly Barnes. I'm Aura Bogado. Join us tomorrow for our regular newscast.